Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Beat me up on the mamas of all mama shit.
Hey, I'm looking through my telescope and I see a mothership. Is that you? Beam me up.
Hey, D.A., I'm thirsty, man. Can you beam me up for a cold one?
Hey, D.A., what's going on, baby? Stop me off and beam me up.
D.A., what's the silly? Oh, permission to get in that mothership.
Is my window seat still available? Beam me up.
What's going on, D.A.? Hey, man, I need you to do me a huge favor. My co-worker's a jerk. Oh, just beam me up, man.
Get beamed up. Everyone else has. It's DA on CBS Sports Radio.
And we come to you live for the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loan Studio. Rocket Mortgage with you every step of the way to provide a seamless mortgage experience. Coming up this hour on the show, how could it happen? The Stanley Cup playoffs are underway, and last night, one of the favorites to win the cup blew a 3-goal lead at home. Yikes. The Bolts go bust. We shall discuss. And we've got an overtime winner even, as we will now unveil our Stanley Cup playoff montage of overtime game winners, which we always love to do every single year, set to NHL 94 Sega Genesis music. Lot of fun.
Oh, okay.
We'll do that coming up in approximately 17 minutes from now. Next hour, Auburn defensive tackle Dontavius Russell is going to join us. He's been shooting up draft boards. Where will he land? He's certainly a Thursday or Friday pick. He'll be taken by the end of round two, no doubt. We'll talk to Dontavius coming up here 1 hour from now. But let's talk NBA playoffs, shall we? We have a 3-6 matchup, which could be the tastiest matchup in the Eastern Conference. The 3-seed, the Philadelphia 76ers, taking on the 6-seeded Brooklyn Nets. Sixers have been interesting because they went all in this year. They had Embiid. They had Ben Simmons. They had Markelle Fultz. They traded away Fultz to Orlando in a deadline dumperoonie. They pick up Jimmy Butler and then also acquire Tobias Harris. And now the process is present. Win now is clearly the message from above, from the front office and ownership. Let's win now. So as the 3-seed in the Eastern Conference taking on the 6-seed, they are the favorites to move on to the second round, where they would face perhaps the 2-seed, the Toronto Raptors. But that's if they get past the Brooklyn Nets. And the Nets are one of the best stories in basketball. 5 years ago, the Nets were in the middle of a stick-up attempt. 5 years ago, the Nets front office had a gun stuck in their back as they walked down the street at night and said, hand over all of your draft picks. We're taking them all, and there's nothing you can do about it. And Billy King handed over his wallet, his keys, his phone, and said, please don't shoot me. Danny Ainge stuck them up. In a deal for Kevin Garnett, who was washed, and Paul Pierce, who was double washed at the time, and Jason Terry, who we love around here, but was also washed, gave up 4 first-round draft picks. 4! Count them, 4! Gave away just straight up a first-round pick in 2015, I believe, or 2014. a first-round pick in 2015, a first-round pick in 2018, and the ability for the Celtics to swap their own first-rounder for the Nets' first-rounder. So essentially, the Nets gave up their first four best picks over the last 5 years for washed-up Paul Pierce and washed-up Kevin Garnett. It was a stick-up. They had no prospects. They had no draft picks. They had no assets. And somehow, Sean Marks and Kenny Atkinson built the sixth seed in the Eastern Conference this year. They utilized cap space. They absorbed bad deals to get back other players. They swung the deal for D'Angelo Russell, and they uncovered gems late in the draft with picks that they would acquire other ways in brilliant form. They uncovered Spencer Dinwiddie. They found guys that nobody else knew could flourish in that system. Brilliant. Brilliant. And I would say that this is one of the most interesting first-round matchups in the NBA playoffs. Because while the Sixers have all the star talent and the Sixers have home court advantage, the Sixers might not have a healthy Joel Embiid. Elton Brand, Sixers GM, on the availability of one Joel Embiid, who has missed 14 of the last 24 games down the stretch this season. The reporter asked Elton Brand, Joel only missed four games before the All-Star break. Do you think there was a difference? Why do you think there was such a difference in the amount that he played first half versus second half? And should he have been rested more in the first half? Elton Brand, that's a fair question. He's a hyper-competitive player. He wants to win everything. We work with Joel with load management. When he presents well and he dominates, that's what he wants to do. There's no ill effects. You just keep going with it. A reporter. In your mind, is his health a question at all, or is he as healthy as you could have hoped he was going into the playoffs? Brand, I'm optimistic that he'll be ready this weekend. He's doing everything he can to get back. The reporter asks, so is there a possibility he won't be ready? Elton Brand, again, I'm optimistic he will be ready. The reporter follows up, is it possible he won't be? Elton Brand said, yes, it's possible. Oh, boy. Look, the Sixers can't go anywhere without Joel Embiid. When Joel Embiid is healthy, when Joel Embiid is on the floor and 100%, he is dominant. There is nobody that can cover him outside of Giannis. Nobody. His power, his size, his athleticism, his ability around the basket, his ability defensively, his ability to finish, his ability to do everything, his footwork, everything is superstar quality. He's a guy that can go for 40 and 20 in a playoff game. He can single-handedly win playoff series. Joel Embiid is that good. But Embiid not healthy, which is exactly what we've always worried about with Joel Embiid. Feet stuff. Ankle stuff, leg stuff. This is good for the Brooklyn Nets. The only thing I would say, maybe this is the Philadelphia 76ers playing some Patriots-like games with the health status, with marking him as doubtful or questionable to give the Nets something to think about, I suppose. Except when you are the favorite, and you were the 3 seed, and everybody knows that Joel Embiid is this dominant, I don't think you need to really play games with his health status to mix up the mind of the opponent. If Joel Embiid is not 100%, the Sixers are cooked. They might lose this series. Believe you me, it is not out of the realm of possibility that even with Tobias Harris, Jimmy Butler, and Ben Simmons, that they could lose to the Brooklyn Nets in this series. They have to have Joel Embiid. But even if they get by Brooklyn, Joel Embiid is their key to everything in the playoffs. Everything. Because even if they get through the Nets without Embiid, they cannot get through their next opponent, who would likely be the Toronto Raptors without him. And they certainly can't win the East without him by taking on the Boston Celtics or taking on Giannis and the Bucks. They cannot. It simply cannot happen. And so this is an enormous story to follow this weekend of whether Joel Embiid is truly banged up or if they're playing games, and if he's banged up, just how effective he can be. Here is what the NBA playoffs matchups look like, okay? This is how they break down in the Eastern Conference or the Western Conference. In the East, the 1-8 is the Bucks over the Pistons. Nice story, Detroit getting back into the playoffs, but the Bucks are going to make mincemeat out of the Pistons. This is a 4 or 5 game series, nothing more, nothing less. The 2-7 is Toronto-Orlando. Again, nice job by the Magic slipping into the playoffs. Toronto is going to chop up Orlando. 4 or 5. The 3-6 matchup we just talked about, Sixers and Nets. The 4-5 is super interesting, the Celtics and the Pacers. We don't know what the Celtics are. We can't tell what the Celtics are. They are talented. They're deep. We think they're well-coached, except they don't like playing together. They have huge lulls. They lose to bad teams, but they also beat great teams. Who knows? Would it surprise me or shock me if Kyrie Irving is already planning his getaway car, bails on the Celtics emotionally and mentally in this series, and a plucky, well-coached Pacers team, even without Oladipo, wins? Wouldn't shock me in the least. The Celtics are the most disappointing team in the NBA this year. They did not need to be fighting for home court advantage in the first round. They were far better than that. In the West, 1-8, Golden State Clippers. Until further notice, Golden State is unbeatable. Although I love what the Clippers did this year. People peg them for 30 wins. They end up making the playoffs in the West. Pretty awesome. The 2-7, Nuggets Spurs. Very interesting. The Spurs have been good enough to win 9 straight games of the season. The Denver Nuggets are a great young team. And watching the Joker play on a night-in, night-out basis is a lot of fun. But we know the Spurs. We know Pop. We know their DNA. And we know they can be dangerous against the Denver Nuggets team, who has never been this highly seeded with this team in the playoffs. Very raw, very green Denver squad of the postseason. The 3-6, fascinating. Portland versus Oklahoma City. The Blazers and Damian Lillard have been another tremendous story of this postseason, or this regular season rather, but completely overshadowed in the West by Golden State and this monstrosity that is the Warriors that nobody can seemingly take down. Putting on a show against Russ, Paul George, and the Thunder, that's the most intriguing first-round series out West. Blazers, Thunder, every night should be a sight to behold. Every game. It's going to be phenomenal. And then the 4-5, Rockets, Jazz. The Rockets did themselves a disservice by not getting the 3 seed. Because that means if they get through the first round, they have to take on the Warriors. And if they are the best hope to blow up the Death Star, if they are the X-Wing fighter to blow up the Death Star in the West, they're going to have to do that in the second round instead of the Western Conference Finals, when maybe there's a little bit more fatigue, a little bit more exhaustion, and perhaps the Warriors have taken a little bit more shots. Instead, it'll have to happen in the second round now, and it'll be no easy picnic to get out of the first round against a very well-coached, solid Jazz team in a 4-5 matchup. That's your 2019 NBA playoff bracket now set. When we come back, Stanley Cup playoffs last night, an overtime winner and a gag job by the favorite in the East, DA, CBS Sports Radio.
Dolphins Mornings Mothership.
I would definitely eat hot dogs out of a Stanley Cup.
Or, ooh, I got it. A giant hot cookie with scoops of vanilla ice cream.
DA on CBS Sports Radio.
You need to eat like this. You need to eat like this.
22 minutes past the hour, DA with you here on CBS Sports Radio. Listen to us across the great CBS Sports Radio Network and all of our awesome affiliates. Also, listen to us, if you can, on the affiliates across the network at Sirius XM Channel 206. But also on your phone, use the CBS Sports app, the Radio.com app, and Apple Music. Mraz doing horsey Scooby-Doo. Terrifying. It'll make a person say, oh my, oh dear, what is happening to that man? Why does he sound like Scooby-Doo mated with a horse and then got hit with a broomstick multiple times? And then got tickled like the Scooby-Doo Pillsbury Doughboy. And I wonder if I stuck my finger or a broom pole into Mraz's belly button, if he might give off this sound. As I joust him with some type of broomstick.
I am a ticklish goose.
Last night, the Stanley Cup playoffs. They are underway. And we have our first overtime game winner. As you puckheads know, we put together all overtime game winners of the Stanley Cup playoffs and set them to our favorite music. We already have our first. Cue up NHL 94 from Sega Genesis and take us to Nassau Coliseum.
Lifted ahead for Matt Barzal. 2-on-1 with Everly into the Penguins' own left circle. Barzal all alone in front. Deeks shoots and scores! The Islanders win it in overtime! Josh Bailey knocked it in! And New York wins it 4-3 to take game one!
Chris King on the Islanders Radio Network as New York strikes first in overtime to take out the Pittsburgh Penguins 4-3. Schwartz celebrates.
Hey, I'm Peter Schwartz.
Scotty Farrell weeps at the Nassau Coliseum, deafening at times in a game one victory. Good ending in that game, and that should be a really fun series. Mraz, is that one of the most anticipated series for you, Don Cherry Alamode?
Yeah, for sure, considering the Penguins didn't have home ice advantage, and then I can tell you right off the bat, game one, they're down 3-2 in a loud building. They tie the game with just over a minute left, only to lose in overtime. But yeah, that will be one of the tighter series. I fully expect that to go the distance of seven games.
And the Islanders have kind of been without a true home over the last couple of years. Nassau Coliseum was their home for all of their Stanley Cup runs back in the early 80s. They had to move out. Nassau Coliseum, a decrepit old dump. They moved to Barclays Center in Brooklyn. It was never really truly a home of Islanders fans. It was awkward for hockey. They played a couple of playoff games there, but now they're back at Nassau Coliseum. And last night, the barn was on fire. It was loud. It was raucous. It was crazy.
Yeah, the Islanders scored a goal 33 seconds in that ended up getting called back on an offsides, but you couldn't even hear yourself think watching on TV. So I can only imagine the way it sounded in the building. So good for those fans, and they get ready to take a 2-0 stranglehold lead if they can.
Keep an eye on Islanders Penguins in the first round. And how about what has happened to the Tampa Bay Lightning? The favorite in the Eastern Conference, the powerhouse team all season long, Tampa Bay, had a 3-0 lead last night over the Columbus Blue Jackets, one of the wild cards. 3-0 lead, at home, I think all in the first period too, right?
Yeah, so much so that I went away from the game the entire rest of the first period and the second period.
It was a 3-0 lead after one for the favorite at home against the wild card Blue Jackets. Turn it off, say goodnight, see in game two. Except the Columbus Blue Jackets come all the way back and they score to tie it and then score to win it. The Blue Jackets 4, the Lightning 3. And we've got an ice-cold Sergei Bobrovsky sighting as well in this series. That is a devastating way to lose for the Lightning. I mean, it's obviously only game one, so you would imagine a powerhouse team like Tampa Bay gets this thing together, and they still have the ability to win this in 5. But in terms of an opening salvo for a Lightning team that has not been able to get to a Stanley Cup final, for the fact, they got to one in 2015.
Yes, they lost to the Blackhawks, I believe, in 2015.
Right. This is, though, that's a big wow moment last night. That's the biggest wow moment of night one, right, of the Stanley Cup playoffs?
Without a doubt. This was the one series where you figured it'd be over in 5 games, and when you go up 3-0, people were comparing the Lightning in hockey circles to the Warriors. Like, they were this dominant a team that has been put together under this salary cap. Remember, they've made a bunch of big trades and acquisitions, took half of the Rangers team that went to the Stanley Cup in 2014 to go with their stars. To go out versus a Columbus team that's basically ready to lose its star player to free agency in Panarin and be up 3-0 and choke that away at home, that is a major confidence boost to Columbus. And somewhere in the back of Tampa's brains, after you lose a game like that, you have to think no lead is safe, and do we have too much pressure on us?
So think about it. If they are like the Golden State Warriors, it would be as though the Warriors went into their first game, game one of the first round, had a 25-point lead at halftime, and lost to the 8 seed.
Sure, exactly.
There'd be plenty of time to make up for it in that series, and you'd still assume the Warriors would do it, but you'd be like, wow, you gagged away a 25-point lead to the 8 seed?
And in a game where their threes fell and everything the Warriors do right works, and they still lost and still choked away a game, because everything that Tampa Bay usually does well is what was rolling for them on all cylinders.
Tampa Bay loses a 3-0 lead last night and now trail after the first game to the wild card Blue Jackets 4-3. They lose last night. We'll continue getting you updated on all the Stanley Cup playoffs as this thing rolls along. And I always love hearing the sweet sounds of an NHL 94. That's for sure. Coming up here on the show, we've got your sound check, your best of the day audio wise. And we hear from Tiger Woods as he heads into the Masters and looks for that elusive green jacket that has evaded him for so many years now, and that elusive major title that he's still chasing after his years away and now his years back. And we'll also hear from John Tortorella, who the Blue Jackets head coach, discussing that game one win over the Lightning, and apparently smelled something odd in the press room.
Itchy nipple chub rub.
Oh, Torts. Oh, Torts. So that's all coming up here on the show next. Also, Dontavius Russell, Auburn defensive tackle, going to join us at the top of the hour.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
This is CBS. It's the DA Show on CBS Sports Radio.
37 minutes past the hour. Thanks so much for being with us. DA with you here on a wonderful Thursday morning. As always, you can listen to the show in podcast form. Full episode of the show available on podcast. So just simply search DA on iTunes, the DA Show, or CBS. You'll find us there. And also everywhere else that podcasts are available, like radio.com. You'll be able to listen to the show if you miss anything or want to hear it again. The world's best vie for the coveted green jacket. Don't miss highlights tonight and tomorrow. And full coverage Saturday and Sunday. It's a tradition unlike any other. The Masters on CBS.
CBS Spectacular, yeah!
And our toll-free line is brought to you by GEICO. Everyone, there's a quick way you could save money switching to GEICO. Homeowners, renters, motorcycle insurance, too. Get it all. GEICO.com. The Masters always presents a real funny aspect here to the DA Show behind the scenes, because Merez is so anti watching and listening to golf. finds it to be a total bore fest.
Yeah, well, and it's fine. It's one of those things, it is fine if you like it. I don't like soccer, you like soccer. I love hockey, hockey's not for everybody. The golf fan doesn't grasp that they are just like the soccer and the hockey fan. It's niche, however you want to pronounce it. If you play golf and you grow up somewhere where you're on the golf course, you are obsessed with the Masters. If you don't, you are totally disinterested in it, and it's not like a team sport where you can kind of know the ins and outs because it's an individual sport, so there's a layer of that that's weird. So when we get to this weekend, and you have the NBA playoffs, the Stanley Cup playoffs, when I have people coming to me and saying, how are you not into the Sunday at the Masters? How? Because I have a life. That is how, okay? And if that's your thing, fine. If it's 65 degrees and I don't feel like watching rich people putt all day, yes, I'm not into the Masters. Stop pretending it's the NFL or college football or the NBA. It doesn't have that wide attention grasp like those other sports do. It is just like soccer and just like the NHL, but with like a snootier attitude about that it isn't those things when it is.
Well, aren't you, though, the same person that this weekend would have spent approximately 8 hours on the couch, even if it was 65 and sunny, watching Alliance football?
Yeah, I would have. But I understand that Alliance football wasn't for everybody. Number two, it's football, and this is America. And we all know what it's like to put the hands in the dirt and play a turkey bowl. Not everybody is out there swinging the driver. I'm sorry.
Have you ever played golf?
I have. I'm not good. Maybe that's part of it. If I was out absolutely raking in golf, maybe I would love it more. I will say it's one of those things, just like eventually I loved sushi in my life. Remember when we first started working together, I despised sushi. I mocked those who like
you
sushi.
You mocked it. You said that sushi was just trendy. I said we've been eating sushi on Earth for like 7,000 years.
Now I'm eating sushi once every 10 days. I do change and I evolve. Every year I have gotten to the point where golf is on TV, one of these big events, and for a portion of time I'll switch over and go, okay, maybe I've evolved, let me see what the hype's about. And within 6 minutes, I'm sorry, 6 seconds, I'm out. I find myself falling asleep, it's nice out, and I think I am not in the minority there, I happen to think I am in the majority there. But for whatever reason, the golf fan is more prideful and more attack, which is so odd, attacking at those who don't love it, even more so than the hockey fan or the soccer fan.
Well, I think, though, that ratings, TV ratings for the Masters on Sunday would blow out of the water the Stanley Cup Finals.
Yes, because if you're, I hate to say it in this country, if you're a rich white guy, you're involved in golf. I think that's who it strikes with, and you're the guy on TV driving ratings. And I think that's the one sport where ratings don't tell the story.
But wouldn't you say there's more average Joe six-packs in America than there is rich white guys?
Not for the advertising dollars.
But I'm just talking about sheer television ratings. A better rating will pop up with the Masters than will pop up for the Stanley Cup Final.
Sure. Okay, I guess. But, I mean, I would love to see that number, though. How big a number? I guess it's also network TV, a Sunday afternoon CBS.
Yeah.
So that plays into it.
Well, I think you have a point here. Cadillac wants in on the Masters.
Right.
American Express wants in on the Masters. Cadillac doesn't care about the Stanley Cup Final. And so it behooves CBS or anybody else who had the rights to put the Masters on network television instead of allowing that to be on TBS or CBS Sports Network.
That's why you're the host and I'm the producer. You just put exactly what I said in a better way. My mindset was there, but wrong.
But you really do get visibly angry that people try to shove golf down your throat.
I do. And I used to be the guy shoving hockey down people's throat. And again, I evolved and I got it. Like, okay, you don't like hockey and there's a reason you don't. I look around and I'm just looking at, you know, 30-something-year-olds in the Northeast, and I'm sorry, we didn't grow up in Myrtle Beach on the golf courses where, like, that's what we grew up with. It's an older sport. You know, people want to talk about baseball dying or a horse race died or horse races, I'm sorry, and boxing and all this stuff. Like, golf fits that category. It's an old man sport, and the 30-something-year-old that likes golf are few and far between for most of this country, unless you grew up basically in the Southeast or on the plains of Arizona.
I don't know. I don't think that's right. I really don't think that's right. There's a lot of young guys at the tour now. There's this whole 30-somethings and even 20-somethings.
Great. Mike Trout and Bryce Harper in baseball. Does that tell the story of baseball?
I think that you're underestimating how many 20s and 30-somethings do like golf. I mean, go to the Phoenix Open. That is all 20-somethings that are there to party.
Yeah, they're there to party. Are they there actually diagramming putts? Now, let me tell you something. If the Masters was strictly a mini golf tournament, ratings, bonanza. You got that windmill going, I'm there. I mean, bag of Fritos open, edge of my seat. Oh, man. Is he going to get a 7 and max out here?
So you won't watch if Tiger's in the mix on Sunday?
See, that's the problem. You just said the exact problem with golf. It's all about Tiger still.
Well, that's true.
I mean, how many years are we going to do this with this Tiger? Like, that's a major problem for golf. Well, I should be into it if Jordan Spieth is it, right? But I'm not.
Yes.
If Tiger's into it, will I flip over? That'll be the one time this year that I flip over and go, oh, yeah, this is why I hate this.
So Rory versus Adam Scott, back nine Sunday, shot separates them. You're not interested.
No, I'll be putting together a mock AF primetime for Monday. Going through YouTube highlights. See if the hot shots clinch or not. I'd rather do that.
Maybe Bart Scott, but not Adam Scott.
Yeah, right. Let's get to your best audio of the day. It is time for Sound Check.
CBS presents this program in color.
An educated person can't think he's going to get a recruit by strippers coming in.
They can fire you, but they can't eat you.
And they run through our ass like through a tin horn, man, and we could not stop them.
The audio you need to hear. It's DA Soundcheck.
In the wake of the explosive story of the Green Bay Packers and Mike McCarthy and Aaron Rodgers being at each other's throats.
Yeah, I have. You know, we've talked a few times, and, you know, like I said, yeah, he's living here. And so he's in the area, and he's got his kids here, so he's going to be around. I look forward to seeing him here pretty soon.
I love that. Yeah, no, I see Mike. I mean, he lives here. I can't avoid him. He's in town. Green Bay's not a big town. You know, it's not like Aaron Rodgers and Mike McCarthy coached and played for the Los Angeles Packers. There's only like 55 people in Green Bay anyway, so you run into him in the same Winn-Dixie. It's like, oh, great. Mike's over in the frozen food section again. Looking at those Marie calendars again. Gotta run into him. I'll be over in the cereal aisle. Just gotta wait until McCarthy checks out. But he's in town, guys. I keep running into him. I mean, he's in town. Not exactly a ringing endorsement of how close their relationship is. Yeah, guys, I mean, he's in town. I mean, I would like it if he got the Jets job. That would have been great so we could get out of town. But unfortunately, this is Green Bay. I see everybody all the time. Just saw him at the Mobile Mart the other day. It was awkward. He was getting one of those frozen burritos. It exploded inside the microwave. What can I say, guys? Here's Tiger Woods on trying to track down the green jacket.
For me to have gotten in the winner's circle after the years I've had past few years, was I didn't really understand. I didn't really know if I'd ever get there again, and lo and behold, I got there again. So to me, I'm still working on it, still trying to get better. I'm still trying to win more events, but I think that winning at East Lake confirmed to me that I can still win again.
As I've talked about before, I do find the adoration of Tiger Woods to be a little uncomfortable because we hold a grudge against so many athletes that do far less than Tiger Woods and never let them up off the carpet for it. We hold and begrudge them. We hold that, resent it, begrudge them forever. And Tiger Woods threw away being one of the greatest that we had ever seen for this crazy life of womanizing and breaking apart his family and overtraining and thinking he's a Navy SEAL and just kind of going bonkers. And there was victims in his wake. I mean, his wife was a victim of this crazy lifestyle. His kids a victim of this crazy lifestyle. The family dragged through the mud. I mean, all of these crazy women are coming out of the woodwork and talking about their life with Tiger Woods. And because of this grip of nostalgia that people have about Tiger, it was largely forgiven and forgotten. And people will say, well, it's not my business. It wasn't my family. And I always found that kind of weird. And it was such a dark grip on nostalgia for people around Tiger Woods. But I ultimately understand it. Because Tiger takes you back to a time that you were wowed by him, that you felt something about golf. and that he comes back and that there is a sympathy. There is a, can he come back and do it? And I suppose it would be like if LeBron left basketball or Michael left basketball or Tom Brady left football at like 30 years old and then came back at 37 and had in the twilight of his career one last run at trying to win a championship. I guess I would understand it. It's just interesting because athletes have done far less and we've held it against them far more, but Tiger just has this command on everybody. And so once again, it comes back to, can Tiger win the Masters? Can Tiger win a major? Can Tiger track down Jack? And there's such a consumption of this for so much around golf and just one man. And finally, John Tortorella and the Blue Jackets had a stirring Game 1 victory coming back from down 3-0 against the one-seeded Tampa Bay Lightning last night to win in Tampa 4-3. And Torts smells something foul in the press room.
I'll tell you right now, this room smells of B.O., I'll tell you. My gosh. Before, no, it's not me. It's not me. I walked into it here, and so does that end this thing here?
Okay, so I love Torts because he's the only coach in America that can actually say this room smells like B.O. But also, hockey smells bad. If you've ever been in a hockey locker room, a hockey press conference, a hockey anything, I mean, Mraz, stop me if I'm lying, it just is a foul-smelling sport.
For somebody who's played hockey for a lot of their life, I have, like, no other sport made my bag or my trunk smell worse.
Yeah.
It is decrepit.
I guess it's because there's all these thick pads and they're just soaked with sweat all the time and you can't really clean the pads.
Exactly. That's exactly what it is. It's like wearing hard sponges that just soak up toxic waste of Heineken coming out of you.
My gosh.
This room smells like B.O. So I love Torts, and hockey is definitely the worst smelling of sports. I mean, I guess we could say that probably golf is the best smelling sport.
Okay. Yeah, sure. Golf smells great. Hockey smells bad.
Tennis probably doesn't smell too bad.
Tennis probably smells good because their balls smell better than golf balls.
Tennis balls smell great.
You crack open a fresh container of tennis balls.
Delicious.
Why don't they make air fresheners like that for the car?
Great call.
I love smelling those balls.
Great
pop
call.
Pop it right open. That it pop top like you're opening Pringles. Let's go. Eps.
Smells good.
Oh, yeah,
that really smells good.
Oh, that'll get you high on life.
That really does smell good. And Pete, you can bring down the music because I just want to pose this to Mraz after our trip in Minneapolis. Speaking of B.O., did you find it to be a B.O.? A heavy B.O. city?
Yes, a little bit.
Okay.
I haven't talked about this. No, I'm glad
this was an observation that I had.
I noticed it in the convention, and I noticed it walking the streets or even at times in restaurants or stuff, and I kind of have a theory on this that's semi-offensive.
Okay.
I feel, and I don't think this is really breaking any grounds here because we've had this discussion about Wisconsin in the past. Whatever it is about the upper Midwest of this country,
okay.
There's a lot of cold weather and a lot of people staying indoors, and therefore you get a lot of fatties. Look, I'm going to be frank here. Like, if you go to Florida, the average, you know, weight of a woman might be 105 pounds.
I think it's probably higher, but okay.
Up in Minnesota, we're talking about 190ers, right? You get a lot.
Oh, okay. It's not 190.
Oh,
that's not the average weight.
I know. Bone density, whatever. I'm trying to do guy comparisons. Women are heavier in Minnesota than they would be in the South. And therefore, and men too.
Mm-hmm.
This isn't just a woman thing.
Yeah.
And I think you get a lot more when the weather thaws out, a lot sweatier of walks, people not used to moving. So when we're in Minnesota in the springtime and people are just kind of coming out of their house for the first time in 5 months, they're breaking sweats for the first time, and probably eating a lot of like really bad sausages and cheeses and stuff like that. I think you get a stinky state, and I think that's what happens. I think the spring thaw, they say, all over the country. I think in Minnesota and Wisconsin, probably Montana, Illinois, Indiana, the spring thaw comes with stink.
Uh-huh. I found it to be a eye-openingly stinky city, but not from people that I passed on the street or Uber drivers. I found 75% of our Uber drivers had BO.
Official stat from StatCast there.
But that was advanced metrics. I did not notice our Uber drivers to be out of out of shape or overweight. I just noticed that there was a stench. Now, perhaps it's from windows are up for 6 months and you're just trapping all the air in there.
Or it's not the Uber driver, it's the back seat with the same fatties I'm talking about hitching rides before us, okay, leaving behind that BO.
Okay.
You know, these Uber drivers might get out
of BO.
Yeah, spraying Febreze everywhere. Look, Minnesota, beautiful town, great bars, great breweries, stinky people. And that's fine. I get it. I'd stink too if I lived there.
I just found it alarmingly so. I said, wow, 75% of the drivers that we had, the car smelled.
Ooh, that smell. Don't you love that smell?
And I caught one whiff of somebody that walked by me in the Mall of America. And I was like, ooh, that's pungent right there. Pungent. This room smells of BO. When we come back, Auburn defensive tackle Dontavius Russell joins us. What has happened to this show?
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.